verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an unholy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. He said unto Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say thou unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care, and what is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on the day that he was out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive, and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Further down a little for brevity. Verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, laid upon his bed. And did therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord, and he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth unto his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed seven times, And the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi, and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Just one verse in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Verse 9, For ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I will make some more references to scriptures in the New Testament as we go along, but I think that should suffice for the moment. What I feel led to present to you tonight is on the responsive side, so that I'm anticipating a little bit what perhaps you will come to in the Bible readings later on this week. But what I have laid upon my heart to present to you is the precious and wonderful truth concerning the power of the Holy Spirit within. I feel sure that we ought to continually stress and re-stress the wonderful truth of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in the believer. If there is a young man, a young woman, but yesterday trusted the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, then within you dwells the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God within you is the potential for every movement that you will make in the path of faith for the glory of God. And we have had our hearts delighted in looking together at the positive blessings for the Christian. What a wonderful thing it is. It bows our hearts in adoration before our God to think of the greatness of that which has been made ours of God. And I want to think of the man of God as a representative for God. I venture to suggest that this portion that we have read together would come into the category of those witnesses of the law and the prophets that speak of the fact that righteousness without the deeds of the law is manifested and given witness to in the law and the prophets. And to bring this out, I would draw your attention to the way that Elisha received the double portion of the spirit of Elijah when the mantle fell upon him and he was commissioned in this power, we might say with a new dimension, to go out and to bring the blessing of God to the people who sadly needed the blessing of God at that time. Elijah, we believe, was recalling the people to the law. But there is, I would say, an additional dimension in Elisha that suggests that there is a typical reference to what might be said before us in this, that the grace of God has come in and brought something that is not dependent upon the law or anything that I could do. Because this woman that we see here in the beginning of chapter 4, poor woman, absolutely bankrupt, couldn't pay the creditor, couldn't do a thing, and that's just exactly what we were speaking about when we began to read in the Epistle to the Romans. There we are as sons of Adam's race, bankrupt, unable to pay the creditor, couldn't pay the debt. But there is one thing that I would like to draw your attention to in the early part of this chapter, that's this little pot of oil. Because this, beloved brethren, is the potential. This is the vital element in this particular reference here. And the cry to the man of God could perhaps be interpreted like the cry that we have at the end of chapter 7 of Romans. Oh, wretched man that I am! Nothing in me, no possibility of doing anything at all. Absolutely bankrupt and hopeless. But if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as I said, even if it be but a day since you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have this potential, the indwelling Spirit of God, a little pot of oil. But she cried to the man of God, and all that is positive and blessed in the blessed God is brought to bear upon this little pot of oil, and see the plenitude. See God's exhaustless tides. And this is the kind of blessing that you and I have been brought into. And when I say I want to speak to you about the responsive side, I would like to think that the young people here tonight are concerned about responding to God who has blessed us in such a wonderful way. Because I believe it is essential. And so I go down now to draw your attention to this, after this wonderful filling up of all those vessels, listen to those words. Pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I want to stress this point today because I think it's one thing to agree with the truth, it's one thing to assent to the truth, it's another thing to live of it. Oh, we are desirous that there might be in those meetings a stimulus that will prove in the coming days, whether they be short or long before the Lord comes for us, that will prove in the hearts of God's own people that they are going to live of it. We sometimes sing, we live of thee, we've heard thy quickening voice. But when we come to the day-to-day movement here, it is indeed possible. And this is why we've said that Christianity is the most workable thing that's in the world today. Oh, we were speaking about, in a negative way, about things like the Geneva Conference and things that men put a great deal of weight upon, and they've gone to pieces. But Christianity, praise God, is ratified in the power of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Justified in the power of His blood. Oh, no, there's nothing like this for the soul to know the blessing of justification, to know the blessing of righteousness imputed, to know the joy of present salvation and the prospect of the glory of God. It's something for our souls to delight in. And it's also something for our footsteps to go in. Practically, to give expression to the victory that's here, the victory that's in this wonderful, powerful truth concerning the indwelling Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of God that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and there again we have a new dimension, a new way of looking at things. Don't expect those around you to understand it. Don't expect that the men that you meet along the way as you rub shoulders day by day in this world will understand it. But the power of the Spirit of God within you, stimulating your affections, the love of God shed abroad in your heart, will indeed bring your affections into play and give you the real living reality of those divine things. Live thou and thy son. Exhaustless tide, blessing for the soul. And this is in response to what God would present to us in all the positive blessings that are set forth in the person of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. So, I can imagine some young people perhaps saying, how then are we to live? How are we to live of this Spirit of God power? How are we to live here in this world victorious with all that is around of distress and all the sorrow and all the, even in the circle of the saints, perhaps a lot of disappointments and confusion? How are we to live? Well, I think that the next little section gives us a very good answer. How to live? How to live? Get in touch with the man of God. Keep in touch with the man of God. Keep pace. Keep your steps ordered. See, this woman, this Shunammite, she's a very remarkable woman. And if we have, in the first part, poverty, and then potential, here we have perception. She said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Spiritual perception. Yet along with the man of God, he represents in this chapter that we're reading, all that is of God. He represents the presentation of divine truth, which is of God. Get alongside the man of God and get this perception in your soul that you can take account of the truth of God. Because the spirit that you have dwelling within you is the spirit of truth. And the spirit of truth will bring the reality of divine truth to your soul. So this woman, I think it's a wonderful thing, you know, that we can take these illustrations from the Old Testament and we can find a warrant in the New Testament to use them. The things that happened to them happened as types of us. And this woman, she looked upon this man who was passing by our door day by day, and she said, there's something about this man. Something about it. He's a holy man of God. She had this discernment, spiritual perception. Cultivate this, because what we're speaking about is responsive and it calls for diligence. You've got to make room. You've got to bring the vessels, make room for the expansion, make room to hold the exhaustless tide of the Spirit of God. And the precious truth is this. This is the way that it works. Some of us can thank God and bow our heads and our hearts before God for those who have taught us the truth as it is. Those who have brought those divine realities to our souls so that we could perceive and say, the spirit of truth is true. It's the reality of the thing. We have accepted it in our souls. So the man of God moving here is invited in. Calls for another exercise of soul, you know, because it calls for preparation. You see, she discussed this with her husband and she said, we'll have to make room for the man of God. We'll have to make room. And I think you'll find soul exercises like this. Dear young brother, dear young sister, you'll find exercises like this where you'll have to make room for the Spirit of God. And perhaps in the adjustments that you have to make, something will have to go out. There are facilities for the man of God spoken of here. They are necessities, but there may be many things there that have to be removed in order to bring the man of God in. But I trust that we'll move on in this way from perception to preparation of heart to make room for the man of God. Of course, the result was blessing. And I tell you, the result will be blessing all the way. We know, of course, that God uses many and various ways and agencies to bring about these things, to deepen in our souls the exercises and to bring us through. Perhaps at the first we can little understand them, but the blessing is sure and certain. It will be blessed. I don't think that this woman, of course, anticipated the kind of blessing that she received. Of course, she was tested along the way as to what she would prefer. And she gave, you know, this is a wonderful woman. She gave a very wonderful answer, showing that she had the right thoughts. She had her mind regulated, so she had made room for the man of God, and of course the blessing, the result was that there was to be expansion, and he said, if I speak to the king for you, could we do something? She said, I dwell among my own people. She had the patriotism of the circle where she dwelt. Oh, this is a wonderful thing. She had no aspirations, no desire for being spoken to the king about. Nothing like this. She dwelt among her own people. And the blessing she got was fruitfulness there in a wonderful way. And I believe that this is the answer to her patriotism. It's blessing all the way along. And how we would like to stress the necessity for acknowledging today, because we believe that although we sit and meditate upon those very wonderful truths that are our heritage, I believe, and worth really holding on to, we know that all around us there is the tendency to let these things go. The tendency to bring in other things that are lesser, and in fact, other things that develop into evil and negative all the blessing of the Spirit of God. It's a wonderful thing to be occupied with positive blessings. But the idea is, and I'm sure you'll find this out as you go along, the idea is that it should be put into positive form in our own hearts, and that there should be a response and practical measures in our lives that declare very plainly the path that we tread and bring glory to God as a result. So now, I think we've come to the blessing of Romans 8, the blessing of the Spirit of God. It's the only powerful movement. It's the mighty power. I know that there are various aspects of the Spirit of God brought before us in this chapter. We couldn't possibly do it tonight because of the restriction of time, but there are many thoughts concerning the Spirit of God that dwells within us in that chapter. But what I stress is the verse that we read: the Spirit of God dwells in you and is the potential within you to bring you into all the fullness of blessing and to keep you on the path of faith. This is what we are exercised about this today, brethren. We are deeply concerned about it, that we should be moving on, holding on to those wonderful truths and keeping alongside the man of God, so to speak, keep in touch with God. We were speaking this afternoon about the open door, access into the presence of God, the favor of God, all the blessings that are ours. We have an open door. I was minded when we were speaking about this, so it came to my mind, you know, that when we go to some of the places that we have to go to in this world, in our occupation, we have to knock on the door. And we stand outside the door and we wonder, I wonder if he's favorable towards me. I wonder what he's thinking. And we have this sort of apprehension as we stand at the door, wondering what the great man will say and what he thinks. But there is an open door with God, and I can tell you this, that before you go to the open door, he's favorable to you. You're in the favor of God. All the blessings are yours. And you can go in, and you can go in with the perfect assurance in your soul, and therefore you can go in whenever you like, and you can rejoice in this favor. The way in is open all the time. And therefore, it's a healthy thing if we keep going in, because it will keep us in the sense of our favor, and it will at the same time keep us exercised in our pathway. Keep short accounts with God. Well then, I just wanted to say that when we started reading Romans, it was brought to our notice that in the progression of things in the New Testament epistles, we go from Romans to Colossians to Ephesians. I didn't read all this chapter because it's a long chapter, and if I had read it, it would have taken a lot more time than we have to spare. But there are things in this chapter that speak to us of exercises that go beyond Romans into Colossians, because this woman, after she had received the blessing of the Son, she, to her amazement, no doubt, found the child died. And she had to pass through exercises, but I want to put this to you, that she ran to the man of God. Now, her husband said, what's wrong? It's not a new moon or a Sabbath. And this, to my mind, speaks to me of some of the things that we have in Colossians. Our dear brother, when I was a very young man, he used to stress the second chapter of Colossians about the things that were there, the dangers and the four prepositions that linked us with Christ and gave us the antidote to all the dangers. Well, I think her husband would have deterred her because of the fact that it was neither new moon nor Sabbath, but she ran fast as she could go to the man of God, and she got the blessing. Resurrection. She got the blessing. Raised with Christ. I only touch upon that, and I touch again before I finish on the end of this chapter. Read it. Read right through every verse of this wonderful chapter, and you'll get blessing for your soul, because when you come to the end of it, there's a man comes from another land altogether, and he brings the food of another land, and he satisfies him. Well, that's Ephesians, isn't it? The realm of God, a sphere that's outside of everything here, seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Just a suggestion. The brother spoke about resurrection and ascension. It's all on the upward grade, and it's all there for our souls to take in. And it's waters to swim in. We might just be up to the ankles today. Go on with the exercises of the Spirit of God. Go through. Go through if it's only up to the ankles. Come through again up to the knees, and you'll find it's waters to swim in. It'll fill your soul, and it'll give you the victory in your pathway here. May God grant it.